Hey guys, it's Kelly. Welcome back to Shits and Gigs. Today, we have a very, very special guest. My brother, Ryan, will be joining us, and I can't wait to introduce you.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. Okay, guys, today we have Ryan, my brother, highly requested guest on the podcast. Asked you guys some questions, so we got those, and then also we're just going to talk about some random stuff, yes, including his running, because that was a highly requested topic about all the crazy races and such he does. If you don't know, he's done Ironmans, an ultra marathon, marathons, and all that jazz. And yeah, let's take a quick little ad break because, you know, trying to hit almost at $15, guys, so thanks for the support. It's worth a solid couple coffees. All right, hold on, we'll be back. All right, it's the real deal.
Yeah, we've been talking about doing this for a while now.
Yeah.
And finally found the time.
Why don't
not
you
like,
just...
we can't find the time any other
oh,
time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably the most important thing, guys. We're roomies now. We're not just siblings. We're straight up roomies.
We did it for like 18 years. It worked out.
So we figured, why not?
Never, ever fought physically. Definitely.
I threw that lotion at you.
Yeah, you missed.
And you threw a fork at my foot once, but that's about it. I guess, yeah, first... Let's just hash it out right now. Any roomie problems you want to confront me about?
No, nothing yet. I mean, we just had, there's 29 decorative pillows in this household that you brought all of them. I brought five for my bed, and just because of what it came with. And, you know, we just had those laying around the place, and I was getting a little upset waiting for those to be out of here, but you just sold some of them on Craigslist or something today, so it's progress. So.
Yeah, we straight up, so we have this little, like, guest room slash gonna be my office when I start my job, and it was just filled with pillows, no joke, but it's all good. We just sold them, so that's fine. The good thing is we're both very clean, so...
Kelly's doing much better in the pillow industry than the podcast industry, given the price that she sold them for, and only making $15 a pop.
Yeah, I made $60 on the pillows, but $15 on the pod. I would say probably it's not even an issue, but the biggest problem right now that I've noticed with going out is people think that Ryan's my boyfriend. Like, cute guys think that he's my boyfriend. So at the bar, these dudes, like... Not that they're scared of you, but they definitely don't. You can tell, because I'll have to make the first move. I'll go up to a guy like, oh, hey, like, what's up? And they start talking. I'm like, yeah. And soon into the conversation, I say, that's my brother. And they're like, what? That's your brother? So I think I'm going to be single for a while now because they think that you're my boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, you can meet people other places.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You don't just have to go out to the bars. Scumbag.
That's true too.
This ain't Tallahassee no more.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so I asked people on the gram about questions that they would want you to answer, and one of the most highly requested was, how do you do this crazy athletic shit? So Ryan used to run for UNF. I'll let him tell that story. You know what? Yeah, just start with your... How did you get started with running?
Well, you know, I ran in high school, and it was just a fun thing at first. And then I, you know, became a little bit more passionate about it and had some successes. And then running in college became a, you know, a pretty reasonable, ambition to, to have. It wasn't like a shot in the dark or anything like that. And so I, you know, pursued it to that point, and then, you know, landed at UNF, which I really loved. I had a blast there. But my running career with them ended going into halfway into my sophomore year. And then I started the don't get fat routine, which was like, you know, try to do something physically, active. And I'd been training for, 5 years pretty seriously at that point, like taking running and, you know, doing runs every day and putting in mileage and foam rolling and stretching and all those things. I took that real serious for a while. So it was kind of nice to sit back and relax and be just like a regular college student. And in that lasted about a month and a half before I kind of got fired up and wanted to, you know, start training for something, because I was just playing, like, you know, I'm real competitive, and I was just playing, like, intramural sports here and there, and, you know, surfing a little bit more often and stuff. But I kind of missed the running, and, you know, I love it to do it as much as I've done it, you know, so.
I think, though, like, a big reason both of us were able to run, I guess, in college was we're very not non-traditional runners, but, like, in college we still had fun. Well, I think it's important, like, we've ran for a while because we haven't been, like, gung-ho run, eat, sleep, run.
Yeah, that definitely, yeah. I watched a lot of kids that I ran with in both high school and college get, like, burnt out, or, like, I know people that were collegiate athletes, not just running, but that's, like, they've kind of, like, lost their passion or, like, their love for the game or the sport, whatever it is, yeah. Like my buddy Caleb is a perfect example. He, I met him on the track team, and I think his total mileage since he left, and it's been like probably 5 years since he's left the track team. I think his total mileage is like
4 a month.
Yeah, no, not even. It's like 4 a year. There's a point where he would come on one run with us every year, and run like 4 miles, and just be hurting like the next day from it. And then like there's been a couple times where he's just like, for whatever reason, like, been up late and couldn't sleep or something, and went like, hammered out, like, 8 miles. But, like, real rare. Like, I know a lot of kids have, like, really lost their flame for it. But, yeah, me and you, we always – it was more – I think we did it because we enjoyed having, like, fun and, like, this, like, the social aspect of it. And we, you know, we like having – we're both, like, goal-oriented, and it's kind of, like, the perfect sport for that. And, you know, we are able to excel at it, and like it's one of those things where you like directly see benefit from the work that you put in, like if you half-ass it, you're not going to run fast, you're not going to run far, you're not going to achieve like what you actually want to.
But then running in college, this Ryan here flips a switch, because running in college compared to what he is then going to talk about is just nuts.
Well, it's like two different sports. Like, I got into like real long distance stuff, so I got fired. Someone told me that I didn't have a good work ethic. And that's something I pride myself on. And, you know, so it got questioned, and I felt like I needed to prove it not only to that person, but, you know, other people. And then more importantly, myself, you know, it's like kind of like I had to put my money where my mouth was. And I had always said, like, you know, I think an Ironman triathlon would be like a really cool like life goal, you know, like my like personal Mount Everest. I knew a couple people when I was a kid that had done them, you know, like adults that I had met that done them. I always admired it, and I read about it, and I was obviously like pretty, you know, pretty experienced with endurance sports, given just being like a distance runner, you know, racing mile and 5K. And so I picked an Ironman that I signed up for, and I'd never done a triathlon before, so I said I'd just figure that part out. And I just started kind of like Googling, you know, and talking to a couple people I knew that have done them, and asked them, like, you know, what do I need to focus on? And then I started going to group bike rides, and, you know, met guys that are strictly cyclists that really helped me improve my cycling, and met guys who are triathletes as well who talked to me about that. And then I was swimming at a public pool at like a YMCA, and started going to like master swim classes in the morning with all these old guys that were like competitive swimmers back in the day, and but picking their off, brain.
Obviously, a triathlon is the swim, bike, run. Ryan decides he's going to do one. A whole ass Ironman, which is a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, and then a marathon.
Yeah.
So when he's talking about doing these training swims and stuff, you can imagine it's not just like, let's go swim for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I was doing cardio, like not like going and stretching and like getting my gear on the bike and stuff. I was doing cardio for anywhere between like weekly for like a 7 month period while I was preparing. I was doing it like 14 to 20 hours per week, every week, cardio, not like the warm up and cool down, like total like time spent, like, you know, a night before a long bike ride, you got to prep the bike, and then like afterwards you got to clean it, and then, you know, all the stretching and the foam rolling and like putting my feet in ice buckets and all that nonsense, you know, that probably equaled like 30 hours a week. I almost did as much recovery as I did.
Well, even me running in college, like, I'm pretty injury prone, so I would be in the training room, I couldn't even tell you, an hour, maybe 30 minutes a day. And that's for running, like, for me, maybe 45, 50 miles a week at that point. Where, so I just can't imagine, like, the recovery, I guess. Not even just the actual working out. It's not, it wasn't just the time of working out that you had to spend on preparing.
Yeah. But also, you know, I was, like, already pretty fit to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, I was coming off, like, freshly off of a Division I training program for running, so...
Yeah,
I had some wheels still, so it's not like it was like sitting on the couch and decided to do this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I was like kind of ready. I just never done the sport.
So once you're really into the training, what would be the typical day of training?
Well, it depended on the day. So I swam on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I took Mondays off. And then Tuesdays were a cycling and swim day. So on Tuesday, I would do a hard swim workout, like hard reps. And then on Tuesday night, I did this group ride. And it was like a pretty chill group ride. It was like a 35-mile bike ride. And we averaged like 20 miles an hour. But, I mean, you're like drafting, so it's easier. And like it was friendly. And then Wednesdays was like I would do like a pretty good run, like a long tempo run, like anywhere between like 8 and 13 miles I would run on like a Wednesday, and then afterwards maybe hop in the pool and just do like some like chill laps, like just to kind of like stretch and just get some more like I guess yardage on my arms.
And the but different like types of workouts.
Yeah, but and but I would never do like a hard swim workout after like a long tempo run. I would just, it was more of like a recovery type thing, just like an active recovery, I guess. And then Tuesday morning I would wake up and I would do a long swim, so like anywhere over, like I would shoot for like times. I wouldn't count laps as much because like that when you're going for a long time,
like,
so I would do
laps.
Yeah, so I'd swim, I'd be like, today I'm gonna go an hour and a half, and I would just do freestyle for an hour and a half.
See, and that's insane, because when I would swim at school for cross training, I'd swim for like 10 minutes and be like, all right,
yeah,
that's enough.
Yeah. And I like,
swimming's boring.
I don't run with music, and people always like say I'm a psycho, like, oh, you go for all these long runs without music and stuff. But like, I mean, those swims that I would do, just like with running with no music, you got stuff to look at, you know, you're outdoors, you're, and you also got to like kind of keep, you got to keep your head on a swivel too, because you might get whacked out there, you know, people, it's just like
taken out.
Yeah, it's dangerous. But like in the swimming pool, it's like you're staring at a tile strip on the floor
for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and then also, like, the only glimpse of the outside world you get is, like, a half a second where you kind of see, like, a wall and a ceiling or, like...
for a quick little flip turn.
Yeah, or while you're taking a breath or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like...
No, that's
nuts. So those swims on Thursday mornings were sometimes pretty monotonous. But I kind of, like, grew to appreciate that, and because I would find these, like, mental space... Like, that's where I really found, like, how to, like, check out. Like, I was always, like, working on that, like, racing, like, younger, like, fat, like, short distances or whatever, but... Like, doing this just, like, pure, like, long-distance endurance stuff really, like, it kind of, like, altered my perception on stuff.
Well, I feel like swimming, even, because there's only a tile to look at, it might be easier to check out. Because, like, running, you have to pay attention. But swimming, you don't really have to pay attention.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't worry about, like, oh, I'm going to fall asleep and drown or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm staying awake. And if I did do that somehow, it's, like, 4 feet deep. Yeah. You know, I can just stand up.
Hey, you can drown in 3 inches of water.
Yeah, you could. But you can also drown in your own throw-up, but... You know, there's precautions that you take. There's precautions that you take, so you avoid
backpacking.
That. Yeah. So, yeah, the Jan Sport method.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know the Jan Sport method, this is I'm a medical professional, and I endorse this situation
tip.
Here, or tip, whatever you want to call it. If you have a friend, you youngsters, and they've been a little overserved at the bar or the party or wherever, whatever small social gathering of no more than 6 people, yeah, whatever, and you're afraid of them, you know, drowning,
chucking their biscuits
at
night,
yeah, Ralphing, whatever. You take a backpack and you stuff it with all sorts of stuff, pillows, blankets, anything that makes it just stuffed as it can be. And then
stuffed to the gills.
Yeah, yeah, packed out. Like you want that zipper about to bust wide open. And then you just cinch it onto them and they can't lay on their back. They only can lay on their side.
It's great.
Yep.
Honestly, sometimes I do it just because it's a comfortable way to sleep.
Save a life, choose JanSport.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that.
This is one of those ads.
Yeah, this is an ad. I'm going to pay for this.
Yeah.
JanSport.
12 cents.
Give me some money. Okay, so how do we get on the backpack topic?
I have no idea. Wait, we were talking about me swimming and getting into
a mental drowning space. In 3 inches of water.
Oh, yeah, drowning.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, drowning so would be a horrible way.
All right,
yeah,
so
Thursday morning was the long swim where I'd stare at the tile and think about life. And then Thursday evening was like I would do the same group ride, but it was slightly different route. And it was like we called it the A night rather than the B night. And it became like a race at the end. And there was no speed limit. And it would be like a tough workout. And like keep in mind, this is all like old dudes been cycling for a while. And I'm just like this young kid out there. And like friends. I'd never done it. And yeah, we would go after Thursday night, we started it started at the Brucci's pizza parking lot, and they would, this is how I got linked up with the group, is I used to go get dollar slices and dollar beers there, and they do too, and I bumped into them right before I started training, was like, what, you guys do a ride, what's up? And then they got me on the Facebook page, and then I started going to Brucci's with them after the rides on Thursdays. I bumped
Lynch's and
like
music.
Yeah, and Brucci's was like a poppin' spot, like a lot of UNF kids would show up there, so like I would see a ton of people I know there like randomly, and I just be sitting with these like men who look like they could be my father, and they're like, oh, it's like is your dad or whatever,
your uncle in town,
and I'd be like, nah, these are just my friends.
No, just my buddies.
Yeah. But you know, I learned a lot from them, because a lot of them are, like I said,
wisdom,
like hardcore cyclists, and gave me a lot of like tips on that and tricks, and you know, helped me progress in that side of the sport. And some of them were also triathletes and gave me some tips in that side, or like put me in touch with certain people that I could talk to, or introduce me to other people, other group rides, things like that.
And then what was your long run?
Well, we haven't done Friday yet.
Oh yeah, Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Friday I would do another run and no swim. It was just a running day. Uh-huh. And I would do like a long, like easy, like a LSD run. Like nothing, not like a crazy long run.
LSD means long, slow distance.
Not acid.
By the way.
Not psychedelics.
You're not getting lit during this.
Yeah, I would do like a long, easy run. So like anywhere between like probably like 12 and 16 miles, but like real, like easy, not like picking it up
Yogging.
At all. Maybe like picking it up at the end just a little bit or whatever.
Yeah, but what does easy mean? Because I feel like, to me, that's like a solid 9-minute mile, but...
Oh, like 7:30s or better.
Yeah, okay.
And then...
And then what were your tempo paces? You didn't...
Oh, my tempo paces were like 6:10, 6:15, 6:20 within there, like low sixes. And then like I would try to break six at the end of runs, especially if I was running with like some of my friends from the team or whatever. Like they like to pick it up at the end of those runs. So it was tempting to do that. And it was not, you know, I was in shape to do so.
Yeah, why not?
But and then Fridays would just be like a chill run, like 7:30 pace, like 10 to 16 miles. Then Saturday was the lonely, boring day too. I would do like a real long bike ride. So like at the first couple weeks, like the farthest I would be going is like 50 or 60 on those weeks, and then like after like by like the first month, I was hitting like 100 miles every Saturday.
And the race distance,
like probably like by like week like 5 or 6, I would be hitting like 100 miles every Saturday on the bike. And then like the longest I got up to was like 188 miles, and the only reason I didn't just like go like the extra 200 was like it was getting dark and I was like
gonna pass out.
I was like I already had made it back home, and I just would have like been adding on mileage around like some sketchy loops or whatever.
I feel like that's a whole nother race, like to say you did a 200 mile bike. That'd even be an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, now you make me want to go actually do it.
Yeah, let's do it tomorrow on the beach cruisers.
Hell no.
What did you eat during these long ass? Because this would be what, 5 hours of biking? Six hours?
We're talking like closer to 8. Dang. You know,
so what would you eat? Like 8 hours? I mean, think about what you eat in 8 hours just when you're sitting on the couch. Like, what would you eat when you're biking?
I would like I would prep it Friday night and like get everything ready, and I would pack all sorts of style, like bags on my bike that I would keep stuff, and then like the jerseys you wear have like pockets in the back to hold more stuff. And I would also like plan out like pit stops at like
gas stations.
Like go to gas stations or like walk
Caesars
into like Publix and get like a pub sub or something like that. Like I would always try to stop on those long ones. I would try to stop for like lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I would pack stuff. You know, like sandwiches and things like that. I would always stop and have like a full meal, but I would also carry a whole bunch of like oranges, like little clementines, like halos.
Cuties.
Yeah, and then I was doing all the goo and all that stuff too, and like filling up my water bottles with all sorts of like mixtures and electrolytes and things like that. And then after like, you know, so anywhere between like average, my average long cycling adventures on Saturdays would probably be like between 100 and 120. And the race distance is 112.
Right.
So I was trying to do like either the race distance or like somewhere near the race distance like every Saturday just to make it like a comfortable thing.
Yeah. Well, and like running is obviously more tolling on your body than a bike. So you probably could do
that. And one thing I wish I did more, which I did occasionally after those long rides, I always like said I was going to do it and then I wouldn't do it as often as I would have liked to, is run. It's called running off the bike. So you like after, right when you finish, you just throw on the running shoes and just like jog a couple miles. Just because it, like, mimics, like, the race. And then also, like, you transition from, like, two... It's legs, but it's two different muscle groups that, like, drive, like, a run versus drive, like, your bike.
Not to jump ahead, but when Ryan actually did the Ironman, when he hopped off the bike and started running, I remember being like, I've never seen this movement out of him in my whole life. Like, he just... First, you kind of took off. Like,
yeah,
you
I
were
felt
moving,
like a million bucks
yeah,
at first.
You were moving quick, and I was like... Slow down, conserve yourself. And then also his legs were just like jiggly looking. Like they looked like kind of jello.
Yeah, they're all shot.
They're shot.
Yeah.
Okay. And then
Sunday was my triathlon day.
Oh.
So I never ran an official triathlon, but I did one just about every Sunday. And it would always consist of anywhere between a 45-minute and a 1-hour swim. And then I would do that at, like, this YMCA. And then straight out of the water, I would go to a stationary bike and pedal for an hour.
Oh, my God.
So I would probably do, like, between, like, 20 and 25, like, miles on that. And then sometimes I would make it, like, you know, as I train and, like, progress, I would make the cycling a little bit longer. And then I would go for a long, like, run, and I would kind of get after it. So I'd go, like, anywhere between probably, like, 10 and 14 on those days. But it would be, like, more of, like, a race pace, like, type thing. Unless I felt, like, trash, then I would, like, take it easy. Not
See, I don't know how you, like, stayed motivated. Because, honestly, I think the training is harder than the actual
absolutely.
Race. Because
absolutely. And I was still in school.
Commitment.
But I was
you were in nursing school.
No, I wasn't in nursing school yet. I was right before that started.
Oh.
So it was pretty chill, to be honest. I was taking like philosophy and like an anatomy, and which is like
basket weaving.
Yeah, like I was, you know, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't my hardest like course load I've ever taken, so I could handle it.
Yeah.
And then also I was like, up till that point, I was on a track team at the school, so it's like I already had the regimen of like, okay, you train, you do school, you have a little bit of a social life, and you sleep.
Yeah, but this like, is to a different, like, a way different extent. Like,
no, for still, like, I used to hang out with the team. Like, I was always at the training room and, like, hanging out at the locker room. Like, I spent a lot of time doing that. But a lot of that time was goofing around. It wasn't, like, just, like, the training part.
Yeah.
A lot of times was, like, just playing ping pong in the, or sting pong in the locker room,
sting
you know?
Pong. So what was, because I feel like if I, well, I just think lots of people in general, like, what kept you motivated to keep training? I mean, obviously you signed up for the race, so it's like, okay, you paid for it, you're signed up, it's happening on this day. But I would feel like so many days I'd be like, oh, I don't actually feel like doing the run, I'll just bike today. Like, how did you stay motivated?
I don't know. I'm not like a big announcement person. Like, I don't like sign up for something and then post on Facebook like, all right, today's day one of training for whatever the hell,
for
you
the
know?
5K.
I'm not big into that, but I do like, you know, I'm passionate about it, so I talk to it with like my closer friends, and I feel like I like doing that because it also kind of, it's like an accountability type thing. Like, I told these people, like, I just paid. And the other thing is, like, if you buy into the race, it's like, well, I just spent this money on this thing, and like, what am I gonna, like,
how much was that race?
You know, I can't remember. It wasn't that bad. The Boston Marathon was more expensive. That was the most expensive race I've ever done.
Yeah,
but it was actually, you know what? It was expensive.
No, but you got the half off or something on the plane ride to Oregon.
No, for the that was for the ultra. Yeah, no, the Ironman that was expensive. It was like $400 or $500, I think.
Oh my God.
And I think it was my birthday present. I asked mom and that's right. I asked mom and dad if that would be like a big gift for me. And they
congrats.
Yeah, they didn't really
get Here's an Ironman ticket.
Yeah, it was like a mixture of a Christmas and a birthday gift.
Yeah.
Cuz like the race was in April and like I was started to train for it during like in, you know, 7 months before, so like before the holidays, so.
Well, and I feel like they also knew it was going to be more than just a ticket, cuz obviously we were going to come watch. So that's a hotel room and like whatever gas to get the like it would definitely be a expense, but happy birthday.
Yeah.
And Merry Christmas.
Yeah, but also they kind of knew I was really driven to do it. Yeah. So they wanted to support it. And
they've always been so supportive.
I think it was something that I needed to do. And they probably, I think mom and dad recognized that.
Yeah, yeah. But, so then let's go to race day.
Yeah, race day was crazy because it was one of these things that I was just like,
we're here.
Like, it's in April. It's in April.
And now it's April.
It's April 16th, a couple weeks away. Like, it's a couple. And then it's like, holy good shit, morning. Here I am.
Yeah.
Like, rolling out of bed morning of, like, you know, I don't know. I trained. I was, like, I knew I was going to complete it. Like, there's no way I wasn't going to
do. Yeah.
Yeah, unless I got, like, injured or something or, like, the medically had to pull me out. I was like, I'm going to complete this thing. But, like, I don't want it to be miserable.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to like hit a wall at some point and it just like suck from that point on. So that's what I was like kind of nervous about. But I'm like, also, I was like, you know, I did a lot of the training. And then I woke up fired up because remember the day before we got there in the evening and I had to go set up my little station with my bike and stuff, the transition zone. And they had the safety briefing and the guy that was like leading the safety briefing. So it was, they had a half and a full. So the half did essentially one loop of everything. And then the full did two loops of everything for the swim, the bike, and the run. And the meeting started out with like, oh, you know, welcome to, you know, so-and-so.
Welcome to hell.
You know, and we're excited to have you, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, let's, is this anyone's first triathlon that they're doing, you know?
Not Ironman, just triathlon.
First triathlon, the swim, bike, run. And, you know, I stood up and a couple other people stood up and they're like, oh, yeah, very, you know, bold. Yeah, you know, good job. Congratulations. You know, you're doing, you know, everyone assumed that everyone that stood up for their first, like, triathlon was doing the half, you know. And then they asked, is anyone else, you know, done triathlons before, but this is their first half? And, you know, a couple more people stood up and everyone's clapping or whatever. And then everyone, you know, sits down. And then they're like, how about anyone, is this their first full? You know, because full is like the mat, like as a runner, it's like there's the marathon. As a triathlete, there's the Ironman.
Right.
You know? And it's kind of like, you know, a big transition to become one, you know? And like a lot of people will start these races and not finish it or they train for a while, or, you know, whatever. It's huge for some people. And then some people get real into it and they do them all the time. Like how people do marathons all the time.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, done like 50 of them.
Yeah, those people are psychos. And, and so I stood up for that one too. And
they're like, wait a second.
And the guy noticed, he's like, wait, didn't you stand up for this your first triathlon? And I was like, yeah. And now everyone's looking at me there. All the people that are doing the race the next day are staring
at me. They're like, here's that idiot.
Yeah. And also like everyone was like 10 years older than me at least. Like Ironman and triathlon is like kind of an older, like more mature sport, I guess you could say. Like, or like the young people that do triathlons do the shorter distances because you're like faster and they're more race oriented, where the Ironman's more of an endurance thing and like old dudes can do it. And
so like, who's this young
and they're all like I could tell I was like, I had some people that like were like props and then other people were kind of staring at me like, you don't know what the fuck you're getting yourself into.
Get ready, buckle up, kid. Hope
like,
you eat a
like
good
I'm
dinner.
Some like arrogant kid that just like, yeah, I like running and swimming and biking, like I'll,
I
you know, whatever. Like, and that's kind of the vibe that I got. And triathlon has this weird, like, I don't really like it for this reason. It has this weird, like, this culture where everyone's like sizing each other up and everyone's like decked out in gear, you
matching
know, like,
head to toe.
Yeah, and they're like drinking this whatever electrolyte drink that some company was like, yeah, we'll give you this for free if you try to like pitch it to people and put on your Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's all like it's materialistic.
It's a little pretentious.
Yeah, and like the other thing is like bikes can get ridiculous, like how expensive they were.
Oh my
god!
Yeah.
Like I was on a borrowed bike from our dentist that we're good friends with, and it's like a $15,000 setup.
Yeah, that's insane.
Which is insane. Yeah, and it's like essentially it's a toy. It's like an exercise machine.
The $400 entry fee.
Yeah, but damn, is it fast? Yeah. You know?
But damn, does she fly?
Yeah, it's sick. I loved it.
Oh my god!
But.
Yeah, I remember, you know, the night before being like, is he excited? Is he scared? Like, how do I even talk? Because obviously we could, like, motivate each other for, you know, normal distance
stuff,
races.
Yeah, because you've both
not like
there.
An 11 or 12 hour event. Yeah, I'm like, oh, God, how is this going to go? I was honestly scared because I'm like, I was scared for if, for whatever reason, you couldn't finish it. I was going to be like, oh, God, how do we ride home with him? But obviously, you did. So, yeah, then the morning, it was like, what, 7 a.m.? Or 6, maybe even 6 a.m. that you started the swim?
No, yeah. It was 7. It was 7 in the morning.
I get confused because I remember the ultra was 7. Because I finished it
like at like 6:11, right? Which would be 6:09.
Yeah.
Because it was 11:09.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you do this thing. So he gets in the... So it was very, like, cool to watch. Everyone got in the water. It was like a lake or
something. Yeah, it was a lake. It was a lake that we swam in. And it was, you know, a 2K loop that you would do. And I'd had to do it twice to make it 4,000 meters.
Yeah, so
which is almost 2.5 miles.
So it's 7 in the morning. It's pretty dark at this point.
The sun hasn't even come up yet.
So they go swimming and all you see is just a bunch of, like, heads bobbing. Yeah. There's literally no way
to tell. We're standing there to start, all these old men are looking at me like, hey, youngster over there.
Yeah. Is what, that you?
Can you see the buoy out there? Yeah. I can't see. It's too dark.
Yeah. So they take off and they like do their first loop and it's basically a cluster. And then it's like the second loop or something. We see like the person in the lead. We're like, oh, go person, like whatever. And there came a point where the water, I guess it was low tide, so they kind of had to stand up for like a couple seconds to trudge through.
Yeah, kind of like high knee. Like,
yeah, like.
Well, when you're coming in, you get to the shallow part and you start either like jogging out of the water to transition onto your bike. Or if you're doing the full distance, you're going around one last buoy that's like kind of closer to the shore where we started in like waist deep water.
Right. So it got kind of shallow.
So you kind of hiked around the buoy and then like started swimming again once you turned it.
Yeah. So then, we see this like person in first place start trudging through and I'm like, wait, that kind of looks like Ryan's form. And they were like, holy shit, it's Ryan. And honestly, we were not excited. We were more like, no, he's like too... Like, we thought you were excited and you're just like busting it out. Like, straight up sprinting. We're like, he's going to die and he has, no joke, 10 hours of exercise ahead of him. So we're like, oh, God. But then you like came out of the water after the second loop and we're like, oh, my God, he's in the lead. Like, what the hell? And then he ends up winning it, which was insane, and the second place person was like 2 hours or something ahead of you.
Yes.
And so we're like
behind me, you mean?
Or yeah, behind you. So like, what in the world? Like, he's never done a triathlon and then he just wins his first Ironman. Like, this is nuts. And it was 11 hours 9 minutes, but I would say the marathon part you start, that was what, the hardest, would you say, during the marathon of it? Because I remember one time...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's at the end of the day, you know? And you not only had I...
You came around the bend and you were like, I hate myself. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah,
it's okay. 20 more miles.
Yeah.
You
when,
got this.
When you were that deep into something, you get into some sick headspaces every now and again. And in that race, in triathlons, you're not allowed to listen to music. You can't have
it. Could be like coaching or something.
Yeah, some nonsense. Yeah. If it's like going to be a sanctioned event, and also it's dangerous on the bike.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But you know, so I'm just out there with my own thoughts, and it was freaking the hottest day of the it was so hot.
I remember too, like, so we had our little setup, like a picnic table with like sandwiches for us, like to eat, and I remember like mom, like someone brought cookies. And I'm, like, sitting there stuffing my face with all these cookies, and I had this moment where I was like, what am I doing? Like, he's been out there for 8 hours exercising. I'm just sitting here sweating, eating cookies.
Tossing
I gotta put these away. God damn it. But, yeah, that was nuts. And then you completed that in, what was it? Even though it wasn't, like, an Ironman
It wasn't the actual Ironman, like
company.
Brand
that made the race, but... In your age group of 18 to 24, if it was an actual Ironman.
Yeah, my time would have ranked me 11th in the nation for males 18 to 24 and first in the,
second in the nation and 11th in the world.
Yeah, that.
Good Lord. Yeah. Good Lord, I'm sitting next to a famous person.
Yeah.
My roommate's favorite. Not really, though.
Yeah.
But
yeah, on the way to training for that, I ran the Donna Marathon in February. And that was my... Because I figured I needed to run a marathon if I was going to run a marathon after doing all that other stuff. I ran my first marathon in February. And I ended up coming in third overall. And I qualified for the Boston Marathon. So then that was kind of in the back of my head. And so... I completed the Ironman. That box was checked. And it wasn't something I, like, really fell in love with where I'm like, I want to make this my new thing. It was just, like, something I did. I'm like, and now I got this Boston Marathon to train for or whatever. Yeah. So I started getting ready for it. I think I, like, enjoyed my summer a little bit and just got in, like, good lifeguarding shape for, like, yeah, lifeguard competitions. And then after that ended, I started my training block for Boston. And
which you chose, well, not that you chose this, but that was probably the worst conditions.
Oh, that was a miserable run. It was
professionals were dropping out because of like hypothermia.
Some of them didn't even start. But yeah, that race, basically the way it works is in the morning they bus you outside of Boston to this other town, and then you start the race and run directly in one direction towards Boston, and the wind was in our face, and it was like either like sleet or frozen rain the whole time. And the temperature was like, it was like 30 degrees or like 33 degrees or something, whatever. It was miserable. It was like on and off snow, super wet and windy, just like a gross New England day. And yeah, it really sucked. I was cold like until I woke up the next morning.
That's one where I love going to his like crazy races, but that was one that I was happy to not, I wasn't even allowed to go, I don't think, because I had to run
to
school.
Yeah, you were at a race yourself or something.
Yeah. But then, after doing this triathlon, well, Ironman, he calls me one day, he's like, I'm going to do a ultra marathon. I was like, oh, cool.
Well, that was after Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, it was very, like, random, almost.
Yeah, I read a book about it in high school, about ultra marathon, about it was called Born to Run, it was really cool. And I read another one that Taylor Watson gave to me called Ultra Marathon Man, because she was like, I think you would really like this book because of this running guy. And, you know, I heard a couple podcasts about him, things like that. And I'm like, well, I'm a runner. And then I got into Ironman kind of opened up my world to like the long distance endurance stuff. And then, you know, training for the marathon, you know, I kind of got like a new appreciation for like the long run, I guess.
Endurance runs.
And so I actually bought into that one. I trained for a 100-mile run.
But that's what was crazy. You're like, I'm going to do an ultra marathon. I'm like, oh, cool. How far is that? Thinking he's going to say like 50 tops. He's like, 100.
Yeah. So with ultra marathon is anything that's over a traditional standardized marathon, which is 26.2 miles. So an ultra marathon could be a 30 miler. They got like 35s. They got 50s, 70s, 800s. And then they have like all sorts of crazy ones that go like point A to point B. And it's kind of some like arbitrary number, like 122.8 or whatever. Or then they have like far ones like 250 miles, 240 miles. They have this one crazy one in New York that's like months and months long. It's like a couple thousand miles that takes people like, you know, they just run like 50 miles a day for a couple months, just ignorant stuff, right? You know, so but the 100 has kind of become like the defining, like when you say ultra marathon, it's again kind of like
you're not thinking 30.
Some guys are like ultra guys and they like do that, but it's like I feel like to become like a true ultra marathoner you have to say that you've run 100 miles. I feel like that's like the golden number. And so why not go after that? Because like if I was going to train to run 50, why not be able to train to run 80? And if I was going to be able to train to run 80, then like why not 100? And it's like I know people that aren't as good of athletes or don't have like the same mentality as me have like done it.
See,
like
that's just crazy. If you're talking running, like, oh, why not 80? You know what? Why not 100? Like, miles!
It's like so many people do it. Like, it's like people look at me and talk to me about it, and they're like, oh, you're a psychopath. But, like, when I ran that race, like, I ran with this guy, and it was his 89th.
This
is his 89th 100-mile run. So it's all about perspective. And
he was old, and he was, like, killing it.
Yeah, and everyone that does this stuff. And same with, like, Iron, like, everyone's just kind of, like, ultra marathon's a really chill sport. Like, there's a lot of hippies that do it. It's just, like, a bunch of regular people that have found this passion for this, like, insane event.
I mean,
it's
true. Like, when you're surrounded by a bunch of the same people, it's not that it's not as cool, but it's like, yeah, we all do this.
Yeah.
Like, kind of in college, like, being an athlete in college, it was just like, well, we're all my friends are athletes. But then when I come home, like, my friend's like, well, that's so cool. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and also me being told I was crazy for, like, my running is nothing new. Like, if you're not a runner, like, in high school, people would be like, oh, how far you run? I'd be like, 6 miles. Like, oh, my God, like, that's crazy. And it's like, I've been hearing that my whole life in my running career. It's like, oh, I couldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, like, the sad reality is anyone can do what I do or what you've done. It's just a drive to do it. No, I mean, we're regular people. We don't have anything special.
No. I mean 100 miles. I don't think anyone could just bust out 100.
I think everybody, every human being has the capability.
Okay, yeah.
Like, gun to your head, you would be able to do it. If there was a gun to your head saying, like, today we're going to go for an 18-mile training run, and if you stop, I'm going to shoot you in your head, and you're going to die. You're going to get the 18 miles done. And if the next day he's like, and today we're going to run 12 more. Yeah. You would do it. Like, if you had a gun to your head training you for that and then also doing the race, you would complete it. Any single person could do it. Obviously, like, there's, like, debilitated people and things that. But, like, regular-ass people, like, your body is fully – the human body is fully capable of it.
Yeah.
And the human mind has the power to overcome those boundaries.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't have some special brain. No, you know, I'm no genius.
You're not special, bitch.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
But, like, also, to be able to do that, you have to want to do it. And, like, a lot of people don't want to run 100 miles. And I completely understand why it hurts. It sucks.
Yeah. So, so it's, like, you start at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m.? 6 a.m. in the morning for the 100.
No, we start at 7 again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're not that fucking crazy. We don't have to wake up early. We'll stay up all night.
Yeah, true. But then, we camped out because we were, like, obviously me and my family and, like, some friends and stuff were going to watch this. So we camped out. Luckily, the course was, like, the shape of a clover, so.
When they say camped out, they showed up day of the race, morning of with me and set up a tent because my goal was to finish, to complete it, but my, like, ideal time, I was shooting for, like, 24 hours or under because I'm like, if I'm going to do this thing and accomplish this, like, massive distance, I would like to say I did it in less than, like, a day's work.
Yeah.
So I picked 24 hours.
Wait, say how many miles was your longest training run?
36.
That's nuts. So you went from 36 miles to then let's do 100.
Yeah, but, like, I would do 36. Like, that day that I ran 36 was on a Saturday morning, and then the next day on Sunday morning, I ran 32.
Yeah.
So, like, I was doing a lot of back-to-back runs. So, like, I didn't do one single crazy long run. And then also, like, recovering from, like, trying to run, like, an 88-mile training run, like, recovering from that would take, like, it takes, like, a month to, like, really bounce back. It's not like I could go the next week and do, like, 88 again, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, also, it's, like, ultramarathon has a lot of really non-traditional run. Like, all the runners are listening to this. Like, you know, you have your long run. You got, like, an easy day. You got, like, a speed workout day, maybe a tempo day.
Yeah.
You know, a recovery day. It's just, like, all those weeks are built the same. But with ultramarathon, you can really, like, some guys get away with training, like, 50 miles a week. And some guys train, like, 200 miles a week. And then have the same times. You know?
That's true.
And it has to do with your lifestyle, too. Because not everyone can just be, like, yeah, I'm going to be gone for 10 hours on a run every weekend. You know?
So when you're actually running the ultra, I mean, obviously you started getting, like, I don't know if delirious is the word, but, like, definitely.
Oh, you definitely go through phases. Like, the saying is, the longer you go, the higher the highs and the lower the lows.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's, right? Poetry.
I remember, too, like, I would say the craziest thing about the race was that it started, again, conditions were fine in the morning, but then it started, like, storming to the point where we thought race officials were going to stop the race.
Because, oh, well, that was at night. Yeah, that started. Or,
it started getting, like, dangerous.
It started at, like, 11:30. It got really hot during the afternoon. The day.
Yeah, it was. And then, so I remember one time I started running with him because I was honestly just scared. I was like, he's, like, not. Like, he would come back. He took a 7-minute break, was your longest break, like, that you sat down. Like, you thought you were, like, at the tent. And he was, like, shaking and, like, purple, like, you just did not look good.
Well, like, so it heated up on us, and a big part about doing these runs is your nutrition and your hydration, because you're just, like, burning through everything that you have in your body to keep you going forward. And so you got to be, like, constantly sipping on stuff, and I didn't, it heated up on me, and I just didn't keep up with my hydration. I didn't increase my hydration. I didn't adapt my plan.
Yeah.
It was my own fault. I didn't adapt my plan. Like, I had a plan to eat and drink a certain amount at certain times and, like, kind of maintain this flow based on, like, how I was doing it when I was training. But for whatever reason, it just got really hot that day. And rather than being smart and recognizing it and changing – I didn't make any halftime adjustments. I just kept drinking the same amount of water as I expected it to do in like on like a 65 degree, 72 degree day. But it was like
in the, not that.
It got up to like in the mid upper 80s, you know, and humid. And yeah, so I got pretty dehydrated at like from miles like it was like mile 35. On, and it kind of freaked me out because like the longest I ran was 36 and I got to like 35, 36 and started feeling like hell.
And you're
you
like,
know?
Oh God, how am I
was like, oh man, like, like, damn it. I didn't get much farther than I did that 1 week. And, but I recognized what was going wrong with me and I was like, I just have to like really hammer these fluids down.
Yeah.
And that was all that I was focusing on for the next few hours was just like slugging water. Like I was every water station that I get, there's one every like probably like 4 or 5 miles depending on where you were on the course. And I'm like, every time I have the opportunity to fill up my water, I need to have empty bottles and not because I dumped them on the floor on
right,
my head,
right.
But like I need to consume all of this water. And so from mile like 35 to about 47, so just like a little bit over 10 miles, which seemed like the longest. It was like some of the longest 10 miles of my
miles
life.
Later.
I was like cramping really bad. Like at one point I started getting the blister on my toe. So I stopped and popped my shoe off to wrap it up.
My God, your blisters. I forgot about
that. Yeah. And when I went to stand back up, like my abs cramped and I was just like locked,
like, help!
Bent over.
Oh my God.
And so I finally got that straightened out and I got my hydration under control. And then I came in around mile 50 with you guys, 52 or something like that. And then I took my 7 minute, like,
he's like, let me have a 3 minute nap. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Cause I felt like we were like the pit crew. Like when he'd come around, it was like, what does he need? Does he need to change his shoes? Here's new socks. Here's a new shirt. Like it literally felt like a pit crew. And he's like, Kelly, give me 3 minutes. So I like set my little alarm for 3 minutes. And then he's like, 2 more minutes. And like, and then it just got to 7. I was like, I think you realize too. Okay. I can literally sleep for an hour if I wanted to right now. So he got up, but
I felt so refreshed after that little power nap.
Yeah.
I felt so, I probably went into REM sleep in a lawn chair.
You were dreaming.
About
you were probably, we had literally like a beach, like a lounge chair. But then I would say after that, like mile maybe 60, when it started raining and storming stuff,
It didn't start raining because 60 or 65 is when you could have hopped in. It started raining and storming like later in the 70s.
Yeah.
When it got real dark and stuff.
Yeah, because I hopped in at mile like 60 for like 4 miles.
Yeah,
and
it was fine. But it started raining like 10:30, 11:30 at night, somewhere in there.
So my plan was to hop in more to kind of just like entertain him and just like get some running in myself since I'd been sitting there. But it turned into I was running with him because I was literally scared because it was, like, storming. He was purple and shaking. And I was like, if he falls or some crap, like,
And
you're
it's
not
in the
getting
woods.
Up. Like, it's dark in the woods. At this point, it's very spread out. It's not like you're running with people. Like, you're kind of running
alone
the whole
time. Yeah, a
lot
of people have dropped out by this point. Like, we started with just over 200 people and, like, 108 finished. So it's, like,
so
about,
like half of
about
them.
A 50% attrition rate on the race.
And
then also, it started, there was, like, a 50-mile run and a half marathon that all started, like, the same time. So, like, all the people on the starting line, there was, like, a whole
dwindled.
Bunch of us. And then, like, out of all of us that were there, only some of us were running the 100. And then 50% of them decided, you know, this isn't for me.
Yeah, so I was literally, like, I'm scared. And like, mom and dad, they can run, but, like, obviously I was the most fit to do, like, a longer distance with you. And so it was pitch black. Ryan pulls me aside. Well, I'm, like, running in front of him, kind of making sure that there's no roots and stuff. And he's like, wait, can we stop for a second? I'm like, yeah. You literally put your arm, he, like, leans on me. This kid falls asleep standing up. And, like, a minute later, I'm like, Ryan, we're standing in the middle of the woods in the rain. Like, I was like, what is my life right now? And you're just sleeping on my shoulder, standing. I'm like, Ryan, huh? And then he just starts, like, jogging again. It just got very interesting because you, like, kind of didn't know what was
late
happening.
Late into that night, I got a little delirious. And I think the conditions kind of, like, I mean, I would have been pretty wrecked at that point if it was still dry, but it just made it that much more miserable. And also I was able to kind of snap into that mindset I was talking about with like staring at the tile on the floor, where you kind of just like, you just kind of check out. And it's like an ability I've kind of grown over the many years of this running, but especially into the ultra marathon training, just to like kind of kind of forget about, like, you kind of just stay real present in what you're doing. Like, mm-hmm. all you care about is the next step, you know, left foot and then right foot. That's all you got to worry about. It's so simple. It's just left foot and right foot.
Yeah,
that's
simple.
All you think about, you know, makes it easy.
And that's but all like, it is, just left foot, right foot for 100
miles. But, like, the
miles.
Worst thing that you can do is think 100. Like, when I first started and I was, like, after 4 miles, the first four, like, the excitement, like, yeah, today's the day. I'm like, 96. I'm like, damn, I could have just slept in 30 more minutes and essentially been at the same spot that I'm at now. Like,
yeah, compare, yeah.
At the very beginning.
4% done.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Insane.
So, like, that's, like, a dangerous rabbit hole to start thinking about is 100. All, like, the most negative mindsets that I got into during that race, it was because I was thinking about, I was counting.
Yeah.
I was doing math in my head, thinking, okay, I'm at this mile, and I got to get to 100. That means I have this many more.
Yeah.
That means I have to do what I did already twice more. You know, it's just, it's a bad rabbit hole to go down. So I try to avoid thinking about that stuff when I'm doing it. I try to stay as present as can be.
I remember too, when you had 26 miles left and I was like, let's go, only one more marathon. And then I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's insane. Oh my God. But then, yeah, you finished in 23:43?
Yep, 23:43. Just under.
Damn.
Just under my goal. So that was pretty exciting. Got a nice belt buckle for it.
A nice belt buckle.
A belt buckle and an attaboy.
Yeah.
I came in 22nd place.
Yeah, damn. And I remember at the point that you were done, we were like so excited, but also just everyone was so exhausted. Like.
Yeah, everyone's happy for me. I was a wreck. You guys were
like,
we just been out in this damn woods and it
in
poured rain on us and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we had to like throw on a fake smile every time you came around.
Yeah. And then when I drove back to Tallahassee, I literally had to pull over at a Dunkin' Donuts parking lot to sleep because it was one where I was like, I can't sleep during this when he's been running this whole time. Like, I felt like that'd be like bad of me. So I stayed awake and then I had to sleep in a Dunkin' parking lot. That was really a great experience too. Claire wants to know how come you never did, you've done all these crazy races, but how come you don't do the 24 and 24 challenge like we did?
Well, didn't I inspire you to do that? Because I did my 4x48 challenge, which is the big boy version of what you did.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Claire, we're
there
caught.
There you go, Claire.
I do remember it was something like, yeah, we're like, Ryan did, because this was during quarantine, and we wanted to do something crazy.
Oh, yeah, yours was during
quarantine. But yeah, and we're like, yeah, Ryan did that, but we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I think Megan's friend or something did something similar.
Yeah, I would have rather ran 100 miles than do that again. That was, it sucked.
It was fun because I had my friends. But
yeah, I did.
Just to do it alone.
I did. So Kelly and her friends did 1 mile every hour for 24 hours. So they did 24 miles in a day, but broken up. So you got to stay awake the whole time. Then it turned into a party at the end of the night. And they had like guest appearances, riding with them on rollerblades and stuff like that. And with me, I did mine because lonely as hell. I think Brian came on, my roommate at one point came on one or two of them. And then one of my other roommates, Alex, came on a bike once or twice too. But most of it, I was by myself. But I was supposed to go to Gainesville to party that weekend with Aiden. But he got sick. He got the flu or something. And
he got corona.
No, this is pre-COVID.
Oh my God. Who knows, honestly?
Before COVID BC. And so then I had this like long weekend open with no plans. I've been talking about doing this thing. So I was like, you know what? Time to put my money where my mouth is. Let's go. So I did 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. So I started I started at like 8 a.m. on one day and then, you know, ran again at noon and then 4 p.m., then 8 p.m., then midnight, 4 a.m., you know, for 48 hours. So 48 miles over the course of 48 hours broken up in 4 hour intervals.
Which I kind of forget you did that because it wasn't like you signed up for it. It was just kind of like.
Yeah, I just kind of did it on a whim. Like, oh, well, I guess
I forgot
plans
about
changed.
That.
Let's do it.
See,
yeah,
when
it
we
sucked.
Were
the
doing
first 24 hours was like cool and exciting. Then after that, it just was like, well, why'd I do this? This is dumb.
When we were doing the 24 miles and 24 hour challenge, we were like, there's no way we could do. Like, every time we'd go out for our 1 mile run, we're like, there's no way we could do a 4 mile run right now and then keep doing it for 2 days. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Dang. Well, wow. What a runner. Congrats on all your accomplishments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything next? Any running?
Well, I'm kind of injured right now, so I stopped running in June because I've been having some chronic ankle issues that I'm like, if I want to continue to do this, I got to fix myself. So I've been doing more like stretching and stuff and trying to like recover from that. I got some PRP injections. I'm not going to run again until January, so I figured just take like a good chunk of time off.
Yeah.
And heal up and then be able to get back at it. But I bought this surf ski, which is it's like a racing kayak, and it's this real big boat that I paddle around. I've gotten into that, and I did a paddle around Key West a couple weeks ago. It was a race. It was 12 miles around Key West, and it was my first ever race on one of them. I kind of caught the bug. There's one in St. Petersburg coming up. It's like an 8 mile thing, 8 mile paddle. I think that's like next month. And then also I'm thinking about like for like a long distance event, paddling around Anastasia Island in St. Augustine Beach.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
It's Ty Collins did it swimming.
Mm-hmm.
It's about like 40 or 42 miles or something like that. And you know, he swam it, so
yeah, that's
I can
nuts.
Totally paddle it, you know. And I got some friends who got boats. They said they like meet me out there and whatever, and you know, toss me some waters.
Yeah.
So
that's so crazy.
So I've been like looking at tide tables and trying to find a day to do that, but I think that's what's like the next like long distance event that I'll do. That'll probably take me like 5 hours, maybe six.
This kind of random talk, I feel like we're getting, I wonder who's still listening. I feel like a funny story we can tell about being siblings, I guess, is the soap.
Yes, the soap.
All right, people, this is going to sound like the most ratchet story you've ever heard, but we used to obviously live together at our parents' house, and when we were younger, we had this bar of soap that was in our shower, and one time the soap was just looking nasty, and I was so pissed that Ryan like left it in the shower, and so I wrote on a piece of paper, take your nasty soap. And I put it
nasty
on
ass soap.
Nasty
you were
ass
fresh
soap.
Fresh with your language.
I was a fresh.
You should have washed your mouth out with that soap.
Yeah. Take your nasty ass soap. And I put that note on his bed with the soap, the gross soap. I just put it right on his bed.
Right on my pillow.
Right on the pillow because I was so pissed. And then he thought it would be funny to like.
I was like, that's not my hair. That's your hair. It's going on your pillow now.
To put it on my pillow. And then this turned into, and this was what, in middle school?
This turned into. This was like fifth and sixth grade or something like that. Yeah. We were young.
We ended up putting the soap and the note in a plastic bag because we didn't want to like.
To preserve it.
To preserve it. It's literally this bar of soap. And we literally started passing this thing back and forth, but not just like, oh, here's the soap, haha. Like, we would hide it. Like, first it was simple hiding spots, like in a shoe or like. On the fan, so when you turn the fan on, the soap would go flying across the room. But then it got intricate. Like, I studied abroad in London freshman year of college. The soap was somehow in London. Like,
you that's right.
Put it in my backpack. I went to New York at one point in high school. Like, the soap was in New York.
Soap's gone to New York, London, Oregon.
Soap has literally gone everywhere. And so this has been, over 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Of this soap. And so now, I don't know, Ryan has hidden it.
Yeah, it's in her possession, but she doesn't know where.
And it's gotten scary.
Oh, yeah, there's been times where it's been gone for months,
you know? We're like, oh my God, where is it?
And then it turns up magically.
But this is one of those things where it's like, whoever gets married first, it's definitely going to like somehow be part
gift.
In the wedding.
And we decided whoever dies first is getting buried with it. Yeah. They're the ultimate loser.
Or if whoever, like, well, I don't, we don't.
The soap's going down with the ship.
Yeah, the soap is going in someone's casket or something. But, yeah, damn, I want to find the soap. Is it in the, you said it's not in the condo, it's probably still at mom and dad's house?
Yeah, I think so. Unless you brought something that may have been containing it, may or may not have been containing.
Give me a hint!
I'm not giving you anything. Don't you even think that I would do that.
Oh my God. And then real quick, last question that we got from Sarah Myers. So we just got cut off. Sorry we've been talking for so long. Sarah Myers, your question is just going to have to be for another time because this was over 60 minutes. But Ryan, any last words?
Yeah, you guys stay thick out there.
Shits and Gigs signing out.